Guys, what's up? The Other Way came on tonight. We're on episode 9. We're 9 weeks in, y'all. So we're gonna talk about The Other Way episode 9. We're gonna talk about a little bit of Forbidden Love. If you didn't watch that, I hope you did. It's getting good, honestly. Forbidden Love is kind of getting good. So if y'all aren't watching, you should probably catch up on it. It's pretty good. So, but we're gonna jump into that. We're just waiting on Kara and Gina. Then we're gonna get started. Hey, Karen. Hi. Oh, Gina's here. Oh, wait, Carl. Hey, Dario. Hi, everybody. Hi, Geek in the Kitchen. Mr. Mossy, you know that's my dad's name. We didn't get Josh and Lily, and we didn't get James and Tata this episode, but we got a little Shekinah and Sarper, and their scenes were kind of annoying to me because we are watching them on The Other Way, but they're clearly going to be on 90 Day Fiance because they've already applied for the K-1 visa, and they were telling his family about the K-1 visa, and it just annoyed me. It gave me like flashbacks of Ariella and Biniam when, when they wanted to be on the show, where they didn't really have any intentions of living there and are living in Ethiopia, and then they did the same thing. So it was kind of annoying, but they got into a fight, which I'm still trying to understand what the fight was about because it was really confusing. It was about a vanity situation, and then he ripped out her hair extension, and I'm like, what's up with like the domestic violence on this show lately? Right? Because that was like the
Yeah.
first thing I thought of. Like, why is he, well, he took away her phone. Domestic issue number one. Then she said he ripped out her hair extension, and sometimes hair extensions are like sewn in, so I don't know the situation. I don't know if he just pulled it out, it was on a clip, I don't know how that got out. And then she's packing up her stuff, and instead of like leaving the country, she's just going to a hotel because obviously they're still together. We know that they're here, we know that they're filming, we know that this isn't as serious as they want to make it out to be. But their scenes, like, I just really feel like, in my opinion, it's not as bad as like Angela and Michael, but they're very toxic, right? They're very toxic to watch. They're very toxic to follow along with. And you can tell that, Shekinah should be in America with her daughter. And it's like irritating knowing that somebody's mom doing what she's doing. And it's like, I don't judge, right? I don't tell people how to raise their kids. I don't tell people how to live their life. But it's crazy to me that she dedicated her life to chasing after this man when she has a daughter who needs her, and only for like 3 or 4 more years. Like, her daughter's so close to the finish line, right? Like, so close to being an adult and being on her own, but I feel like she just gave up on her, and I feel bad. Like, the only person I feel bad for in the whole situation is her daughter, right?
Absolutely. And that poor dog.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, the dog. The dog is cute.
Yeah.
I love the dog.
She's got 57 suitcases to take from the apartment to the hotel on their not joint birthday at all, but we'll call it that. Born at different times on different dates, 2 years apart. She literally moves to Turkey to raise a 43-year-old man. Like, I can't with
So
her.
let's talk about the joint birthday. So he's on the 20th, she's on the 21st, I believe. And they're saying since there's a big time difference, they were born on like at the same time but 2 years apart. I don't know how that works. I mean, I know
There's
that
a
like in
10
certain
hour time difference between LA and Turkey. Like, I don't know, like, we already know these people are Beavis and Butthead or Dumb and Dumber. Like, choose your pick, they're both the same, it's both the same pile. But how they logically figured out in their demented little brains how they were born on the same day. But we are also talking about Shekinah, who can't figure out how to get a permit to work in Turkey as an esthetician. So,
this is true. This is true. Well, I think they're trying to say, like, because you know how in China it's tomorrow? So they're trying to say, like, it was the 21st in Turkey, or, whenever Shekinah was born, it was the next day in his country. I don't know. I feel like they're making me dumber by the minute.
Even if it was the next day, which would make her birthday on the 21st, they're still not born at the same time because there's not exactly a 24-hour time difference. So none of their math is mathing. So it's probably better that her daughter is off at boarding school and learning from them and not her mother.
That could be true. You know what? That could be true. You know what? I'm always like the family court judge, and I'm like, oh, kids need their mom. There are certain situations where the mom is not what the kid needs. And we have to really open our eyes to that. And that you might be right, Carl. The kid might be lucky that the mom is all the way in Turkey and not specifically right over her hovering. Because, you know, we looked at Sophie and her mom, and I think Claire really messed up Sophie, right? Like, I feel like Sophie has so many issues from her childhood and growing up and moving around a lot and never having stability. That all came from Claire. So it's like, there are times where the mom not being present is the best gift that you can give your baby, you know? Like, you know, when I used to watch these shows where the mom would give up the child for adoption, you know, it's a very emotional and hard thing, but the mom will tell their side of the story and it's literally the best gift, right? Because the mom could be an addiction, they could be homeless, they could be so many different things. And they're like, I want to give my child the gift of a good life. And so maybe I need to respect Shekinah a little more. Maybe she's giving her daughter the gift of not being in her life. And we need to respect the fact that that's a nice gift to give somebody.
Respect.
You're doing each other favors.
Respect is earned. That's a big word.
Well, I respect her giving her daughter the best shot at life, right? Like, I think that's a gift. Giving your children the tools they need to be successful, and sometimes the tool they need is just absence from you.
Yeah.
You know, it sucks. And it's like, because I watched a lot of that family court judge show, and it's really hard to watch, but it's like sometimes the judge has to make really hard decisions, you know, to make sure that that child is in the best situation possible. And a lot of times their biological parents are not a part of that equation. So I just want to, now that you put it in that light, I'm like, man, you're right. Because think about how her relationships could rub off on her daughter, like how she thinks it's okay for Sarper to rip out her hair extension, and she thinks it's okay for Sarper to tell her what she can eat and how much she should weigh, and literally weigh her, humiliate her and weigh her after she, like, that is humiliating. So maybe it's best that her daughter is not present around
but
that.
But also, how embarrassing for the daughter that your mother is doing this on national TV. Like, she's putting this shit out there that she's this stupid. So
no, you're right.
There's no excuse for any of this. None. She should not be on TV at all.
I agree with you. I wanted them to be done when we saw them last season, and then when I heard they were coming back, I was so unenthusiastic, right? And it's like watching the scenes. I want to have an open mind. I believe that it's only fair to have an open mind with everyone, but it's hard for me to be positive watching them. Like, they really irritate me. And it's like only certain people, you know, I've been covering the show since, oh my gosh, I don't even know how many years and years, only a handful of people can get underneath my skin and I just can't stand them. And then they're on my list, right? It's a very short list, but they've made it onto my list and I just don't want to be around, like, their storyline. I don't want to follow it. Only one other time did I have people on the show. I think it was Ed and whoever he was with at the time, I wouldn't cover them. Like, I just wouldn't talk about it. I was like, I'm not going to waste my breath talking about this. And I think it was one other couple, too. And I was just like, I'm not doing it. And they're
so... Because recently did it for a long while. We did it with Nicole and Mahmoud.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're on my list, too. Yeah. Those two toxic people, they're on my list, too. I don't want to waste my breath. And it's like, if you want to be in that type of situation, I'm not going to support or condone or even give you attention. Yeah. You know, I just hate that. All right, so I want to talk about JoJo. So Joanne has made the trip to Ireland with her two sons. And we found out tonight that Sean has a daughter. I think she's 8 is what she's at. Her name is Bella. Did we know that before? It was new information for me tonight. So I could have just not been paying attention.
No.
Yeah, because I was like, when did this happen? So she is also unaware that she's about to meet her stepmother. As the boys are unaware that they're meeting their stepfather. And he said something really funny. He was like, I don't have a traditional job. I just raised my daughter. So I was like, is this a situation where Joanne is sending money to take care of him? That was the first thing that came. I could be completely wrong, right? But I was like, is this a situation where she's been financially supporting him all this time? That's why they got married and he has no actual intention of being with her. Like, it just, it popped into my head because I was like, you have a daughter, your car is nice, you live in a nice place, you don't look like y'all need anything, but you said you don't have a job. So I'm just kind of wondering what's the situation, and you're specifically into MILFs, you know, and MILFs have their life together, they have their finances together, you know, they have money in the bank, you know, they are not a 23-year-old girl, right? A 23-year-old girl is a whole different situation than a woman you would consider a MILF. She has a career, she had, well, minus Shekinah, right? Minus her. But usually a MILF has a lot going on. So I'm just curious, what do y'all think is going on job-wise with him? You think he's just an MMA fighter? Because they do get paid like thousands and thousands of dollars per fight.
This whole episode has me so pissed off, I can't even. First of all, where's Josh and Lily? They're the only ones I want to see. Second of all, we're just finding out that he's got a daughter, a little daughter. Her son is little, and she's just going to move to another country and leave him behind. Those kids are going to feel like my mom is leaving to go be a mom to someone else. And it just, it's not right. It just pisses me off. The second I found out he had a daughter, I was like, I can only imagine how these kids feel. I would be so upset. And I realize there's a whole joint custody thing and blah, blah, blah. But you can't just, joint custody doesn't mean you can just up and move the country and just leave your kids behind. That's not okay.
Well, no, it's legally you can. I think you have to get the other parent to give you permission, right? Even if you don't take the child, because you basically need to sign over rights. Isn't that how it works?
What I'm saying is, morally, you can't just move to another country. Because if my kids, okay, my kids are adults, but thinking back to when they were little, if I wasn't even okay, excuse me, going out of town for the day, because if something happened to my children, I needed to be there the second something happened. So if I'm in another country and something happens, and then I've got to book a flight and hope that I can get one, and then fly for however many hours or days or whatever, and then hope I can get a ride from the airport, and then hope, and then hope, and then hope. That is never going to be okay in my book. It just pisses me off.
No, I agree. I agree. When I saw how small her little, well, I don't want to call him small, how little her youngest son was, for some reason I didn't notice it on the first episode when they were all eating at the table. When they were getting on the plane and I saw how tiny he was, I was like, this is crazy. The idea of him losing his mom, because first of all, she's not with their dad. No. So he's got one steady parent present. And then taking that stability away from such a small child is just, it can leave such a devastating emotional impact, right?
Yeah.
And it might not seem that serious. She's like, oh, well, I'll just leave for this many weeks to come back. You need to be there. Kids have basketball, sports. They have all these things that you need to be present for. And yeah, it doesn't seem like much if you miss a recital, you miss a play, you miss a game or one thing. You would be surprised how many therapists would tell you that those small events have made such a long-lasting emotional impact on that child. They're talking about that in therapy for months and months and months, trying to process seeing everybody else's mom and dad there. Because I did that when I was, okay, so when I graduated from eighth grade, I was in Louisiana, so it was like an eighth grade graduation, my dad showed up to the graduation, which was great, and he brought his new wife and his new family. And see, that was like not okay for me. Like, I wanted it to be about me, and I felt like, why would you bring them when it was about me? And in my opinion, I needed him to just not be there.
Yeah.
You know, because, and I had to go through therapy, and we talked about it, and it was like a whole thing. So I can't imagine, and I was going into the ninth grade, and that's how much it affected me. This little kid is way, way younger than that. Like, so the idea that your mom, the only steady parent that you have in your life, can be in another country with not a phone call away, not a car ride away, not in the next room, but in another country. I don't even know how a child would process that.
Right. And there's so much to process because your parents were together. You're born, you've got your sibling. Then your parents split up. Then your mom gets a new boyfriend. That's hard enough. But then you find out your mom's new boyfriend is in another country. But then you find out that your mom's new boyfriend is in another country who's not actually her boyfriend. They're actually married. But then you find out not only is he in another country actually married, but she's moving there to raise his daughter and you get to stay behind. So these poor kids, I feel so bad for these kids.
There is a lot of red flags, even you guys had pointed it out in earlier episodes with him, like, there's just something about him. There's just something about him. You and Didi, like, Cara and Didi kept on saying, there's just something about him. I can't put my finger on it. And the fact they've been married 2 years and they've hid it from everybody, the most important people in their lives, which is their children. She can care less about her kids, apparently, because she's willing to jump and go on a plane. But as we mentioned before and last week, how are you going to do that every month? Like, how, where's this magic income going to come from? So, and he didn't look like he had, for MMA, he didn't look like he had those cauliflower ears. Like, usually they have, like, those cauliflower ears.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen them. He looked pretty put together. So, I don't know about that.
That's a good point. His face looked pretty intact for an MMA person. I have friends that fight in MMA, and they have, like you said, they have two cauliflower ears. And they've got bruises everywhere, and there's usually a puffy area of the face because they're always fighting. You're right. He didn't look like he was getting punched in the face often. His teeth looked brand new. Did y'all catch it? His teeth looked brand new.
That's
like way, way more expensive than Angela's teeth. These were good teeth.
Well, Angela,
and I'm thinking that...
Hold on. Angela has Timu teeth. We can't skip past that. You know that. Did you guys...
Well,
did you read that, you know, the white part of her teeth on the bottom where it's all weird? Did you read what actually happened?
No.
She got her dentures and she put them in the dishwasher.
I heard that!
No.
That is what...
Yes!
Are you serious? What made her think that you could put your dentures in the dishwasher?
What makes...
There's a special...
What makes her trigger? What? Yeah, it's the, you know...
There's a special solution that you use to clean them. It's literally made specific for that. So it increases the longevity of use. That's like, oh my, what made her think that was okay? And then, so that explains it. Cause there was a lot of different rumors going around of why they look that way. But that makes it, cause it kind of looked like they were in upside down at one point.
Yeah, so she put them in the dishwasher and the heat cycle melted them.
Melted the top part.
Yep.
I see it. I see it now.
Yep.
Because it did.
There
were
so
flat.
Many speculations about it that she had to address it, that she put them in the dishwasher and blah, blah, blah. Like, not only did she ruin these dentures, but now you have to throw away all those dishes and the dishwasher and burn the house down. Like, I mean...
But why didn't she order more? Why was she just still wearing them? That was my question, because she had to know, being on television and being, you know, she's not the most loved person on the show, that people are looking for a reason to say something negative about you. So what made her think it would be okay to just put those back in and go on TV? The first thing I would have did was order more, because I knew people were gonna be waiting for me to show up looking like that so they could
They're probably on layaway. She couldn't find it at Dollar Drive or Dollar Tree or whatnot for her teeth.
These are the same ones that she got on the show, right? Do you remember she went to a dentist on the show because she was hitting on the dentist? Remember she always hit on every doctor? Remember that? It was like, it was like a younger dentist. I remember. So these are the ones that he did on the show, right? So they were free because we watched it. They were literally free. If they're filming it, it's free. So she couldn't just purchase a pair. How much do they cost? Okay, question. Are they expensive? Is it expensive to get those made?
I don't know. I would have.
I don't know. For my mouth guard, mouth guard, it costs $500 Canadian.
Oh, $500. Because a dental implant, because I had to get a dental implant when I lost a tooth, it cost $12,000. So $500 is like groceries. That's literally nothing.
My benefits cover my dental. That was what I paid out of pocket.
So,
that's what you paid out of pocket. Oh, okay.
Well,
my dental implant was $12,000, and I think I paid $3,000 out of pocket.
A complete set of dentures without insurance cost between $15,000 and $30,000.
Whoa, are you serious? Okay, now I understand why you just put them in your mouth. Yeah, I get it. That's
Oh, wait.
15 to 30 grand.
Hold on, I misread. So it can cost between $1,500 and $15,000 with a partial. And then implants and supported dentures are between $3,000 and $30,000.
Oh, so implants. With dentures. I don't think she got any implants. I think it was just dentures, right?
I don't remember
her getting any implants. So all the money that she's made, like let's be real, she's been on the show for 7 years. She could have easily just had another pair made.
I don't know.
You know, she
according to this, you can get some on Amazon for $80. I don't know.
Well, see, that's that too. I thought you had to go to the dentist. Can you just order it online?
I don't know, but I'm assuming that I don't know. I would rather go to Spirit Halloween and get the vampire fangs than walk around with that mouth full of yuck she has.
I was gonna say she just looks like a vampire anyway. So she's a vampire. Go to the Halloween store.
Pay the $80. Yeah, I would pay the $80 before I went on TV looking crazy because I know people are just waiting for me to do something so they can destroy me, right? Like, yeah. That's the whole point. Like, if you're on TV, you do anything in the public, people are just waiting for you to do one thing. They're use one slip up so they can drag you across the ground in the mud for one thing that you did. And I'm just like, no, I'm not giving you permission
especially
to drag you.
Especially when you're the most hated person in America. Well, like,
all right. You know, like, if you have a reputation of irritating everyone that has a television, you would think you would steer clear.
First of all, she didn't even start by ironing her face, and then she adds the dentures on top of it. Like, this is a whole shit show all on its own.
Did you say iron her face?
Well, something needs to be done.
Are you? I don't even know how to react to that. Okay, so I want to talk about this Sean character, right? Because I know I have like my suspect senses. What do you call it? Like, I think his daughter called him sus.
Yeah.
He's very sus to me at this point. And I'm just like, I'm trying to understand, you know, what's going on with this situation with Joanne. I want to believe that she's not funding his life, but I also believe that she would do that, right? Like, if she would marry him and not tell anybody, I think she's probably sending him money. And I think that's the whole situation. And then the fact that she's a secret from his family, his daughter, he's a secret from her family, whatever, that's suspect too. But I think when he said that I don't have a job, I mean, I don't want to say that he said I don't have a job. He said I don't have a typical 9-to-5 job. He said my full-time job is taking care of my daughter, which is amazing. I stand behind that. But somebody's paying your bills and somebody bought your teeth, right? Like, because I don't know that he owns any type of business or anything. He never said that he was an entrepreneur. So I'm trying to figure out who's supporting you. And the only person gullible enough in the situation that I'm looking at is Joanne, right? Like, she's the only person that comes to mind. Who's taking care of you? Because he said that his daughter's mom, they split a long time ago. They don't have any communication. She's obviously not paying child support, you know? So it's like, what's going on? And I'm just really worried that she's going to put all of her money into this relationship and then he's going to leave her ass. Like, that's what I'm really worried about because she's got kids. She's got a life to maintain for these children. And if she gives all of her money and all of that she has for a guy who's using her, she's screwing over her kids.
The whole thing's such a weird dynamic. They're not going to make it. I mean, they're just not
going to
make it.
The Diva Speak says housing benefit is a lot better in Ireland and the UK than in Canada. Oh, so maybe he gets like free housing.
Oh, maybe.
And file benefits and all that.
I mean, that's very possible because just because he looks well put together doesn't mean that he's rich. You know, like, you can take care of yourself really, really well and have the bare minimal, like, income. Yeah. I've met people. You know what's funny? I had friends back in Ohio. They were, like, on the housing assistance and everything. And I would go to their house, the cleanest house, most beautiful, immaculate, clean home. Beautiful furniture. They appreciated and took care of what they had. They didn't have a lot of money, but you never would have known it unless they told you. So it's very possible, you know, he could be living, you know, on a housing benefit or whatever, but I don't know. I think it's probably her money. That's just where my mind went.
Me too.
Like, I don't know. I think As soon
we're
as
in the
she was like,
"90 Day Fiancé world," that's where your mind goes all the time. All
right. We've been watching. This is not our first rodeo. We've been watching this show for a long time. We know there's keywords that we listen to and we look for, right? And when he was like, "I don't have a job," I was like, "Oh, here we go. Here we go. I already know where we're going with this. The same Danielle and Muhammad, Nicole and Azin. Like, I know the road that we're going." And it's like, obviously, he probably doesn't want to come here. But, you know, neither did Azon, right? Nicole wanted Nicole's money. Remember, he wanted to open a store. And he wanted all this stuff. He had no interest in moving here. But she really changed his life over there. She gave him so much. And the money was worth more. So I was like, he's probably just getting what he's gonna get. Then it crossed my mind, like, well, what if he's talking to other MILFs? Like, what if she's not the only one? Right? Like,
that's his full-time job. You've nailed it. That's his full-time job. Talking to other MILFs, getting money from other MILFs, and then bringing the money.
Yeah.
Because the fact that he said that Bella thought that that was his friend, it made me think that lots of friends come to visit. And he doesn't tell Bella anything because they're just his friends. And then the women come to Ireland thinking that they're in a relationship and they're giving him money and they're taking him on trips and they're taking care of him. And then they go back to the U.S. and then he plans another trip with another MILF. And like you said, that is a full-time job. When you're lying to that many women at once, that's a full-time job. You got to make sure you have the time to pull that off. Johan did that. You know, this is a very complicated profession, you know, because women are very intelligent. So you got to be really intelligent to trick that many women at once, right?
I mean, I don't know. These shows are making women look less intelligent by the day.
That's unfortunately
you're not wrong.
True. But but they don't represent all women. Nope. They just represent.
Oh, but they make American look really bad.
They do. You're right. I wish that. And I think that a lot of people in other countries are watching it and they're thinking that American women are gullible and easy to take advantage of. Yeah. And every now and then they come across a woman that isn't. But a lot of, more often than not, they are. And I think a lot of it is because American men have driven American women so far up the wall with them that they are looking in other places. And I feel like they're gullible and they're easy to manipulate. And I think, unfortunately, they get caught, you know, like Danielle got caught with Muhammad. And, you know, they just get caught up in what sounds good because they're so used to assholes. You know, American men can be really assholes, right? Like, they can just be really horrible people. Also, I want to talk about Corona, because Corona is meeting Inky's parents for the first time. And she's really worried about how they're going to feel. Like, I guess in a easier sense, she thinks they're going to be massive racists, basically, because she's like, I don't think they've had a black person in their house and they don't know black people. And I'm going to say this in the nicest way, okay? Like,
you
I don't
go
mean
ahead
any...
and then I'll say it in the nicest way.
I don't mean any disrespect, but Corona is the farthest from a black person that you're going to get. Like, I get that, like, physically, she's a black woman, but like she's basically Shekinah, like a valley girl in a black girl's body. Because she's like, oh, I hope they like black people. And I was like, well, you're only like 50%. You know, like if
also,
anything, like
nobody gives a shit that she's black. Nobody. They're more concerned the fact that you're wearing 9-inch heels in the snow, you dumbass.
I was gonna say that. She needs to get better shoes or else she's gonna break a leg.
Well, didn't she say when they were walking in the house, she's like, what if I fall and break my leg? And I'm thinking, that's very possible, the fact that how you're dressed on walking on like a sheet of ice, that's literally on the table right now. You're probably going to
live in snow country. I don't own a single pair of heels. I don't think I could walk in heels, even in the summertime, but much less in the wintertime. Would I ever try that?
No, I mean, I lived in Ohio and there was a sheet of ice a lot, and I would wear weather appropriate shoes like boots and shoes with traction, and I still fell and bust my ass more than once. Okay, like let's just be real. I fell. I walked out of my house, thought everything was good. My ass was on the ground.
Yep.
And I was wearing very weather appropriate shoes because black ice is literally black ice. You can't see it. Yep. You just walk out and your feet are in the air, your back is on the ground, and you're like, am I dead?
Yeah.
Like, am I dead? Like, I don't know. Yeah, am I okay? Can I walk? You just don't know. You just don't know. And the fact that she was so worried about whether or not her parents were going to like her was funny, because I was like, you should be more worried about why you moved all the way to Iceland for a man who hasn't proposed to you yet.
Yeah. Or had it made it like official on social media. Like, I know it's not like some people, right? Not everybody does it or whatever, but the fact that he hasn't acknowledged that factor can also pose a red flag. But I don't know, not everybody is like into that whole social media in a relationship. Look how long it took Beavis and Butthead to do it. So
her parents, his mom touched her hair. I told y'all the story about the hair thing with me before. Like, for Black people, that is a thing. Like, touching your hair is like a thing. But I think that the mom was more so doing it in an endearing way. I mean, I guess it's still questionable, right? Like, you don't just walk up to people and touch their hair. It's like weird. And it is a Black thing, because I remember I told y'all I went to a white school, and that was like the first thing all the girls wanted to do was touch my hair. Like, that is a thing, but it's also like a, I don't know how to explain it. You know, like, because it's like a learning process for people, but also you don't want to be the test dummy for their learning. So it's like an awkward situation. But she let her touch her hair. She's like, I'll let her touch my hair. It's totally okay. And I was like, well, were you going to make a scene and like yell at her for touching your hair when you're first meeting them, when you really want her to like you? You know, like, were you
especially
gonna,
when you're going in worried about them not liking a Black person when they literally don't give a shit. If you're Black or if you're brown or if you're white, they don't care.
No, but they don't see color.
They just hug you and you're so beautiful and touch your hair, and because they don't see a lot of Black people, so they might not know that that's wrong. So whatever, you're so pretty, whatever.
I think that she's always worried about the wrong stuff, right? In my opinion, like, her worries are always off base. Like, they've only been together 4 months. Her real worry should be, why is she living there after 4 months of knowing someone? Like, that's the real issue. Like, from the therapy side of things, you know, like, why are you here? 4 months, you've packed up and left and given up on your dreams for 4 months of a relationship. And then you've only spent like, what, 13 days, like, actually together. And you decided that you could give up being a midwife for this person who didn't even propose. Like, there's where the issue lies. That's what needs to be worked out. And then the mom's like, oh, we were like grandkids. And I'm like, they need to figure out if they're even dating, because he hasn't even made it like official. Like, they have way more stuff to work on. And also, what's with parents like trying to get grandkids too fast? Like, she knows they've only been dating for 4 months. Like, that's way too early to be pushing for grandkids. Let people get to know each other first. And I get it.
He's just happy that he's dating someone that's not his cousin. And, you know.
Well, yeah, she's definitely not his cousin because she's Black. So she's definitely not his cousin. So that probably made them really excited, because they're like, we're going to have like totally normal grandkids, right? Yep. They're like, totally normal, no weird bloodline stuff going down, like totally normal. So that probably excited them a lot, because they already have grandkids. We didn't meet them. Good for them.
Yeah.
Keep your kids off the TV. It's so important.
Yes.
I think
until next
people are learning it the hard way.
I'm sure we'll see them next week.
Well, yeah, I'm sure they'll pop up, but I think that in the long run, people really need to start keeping their kids off the TV. I think that a lot of the, I was watching a TikTok from a girl from Unexpected going off, because people were saying stuff about her kids. And I was like, see, I understand that's off limits, but I do understand that you signed up and let people film your kids. You know, it's like 50-50. 50% is on the disgusting people at home doing it, but 50% is on you, because that baby's fully your responsibility to protect. And you let people put that baby everywhere. So it's like, yeah, those people are disgusting. But, you know, they would have nothing to work on if you didn't give them the material, you know?
As much as Jasmine makes my skin crawl, I will give her all the credit in the world for not putting her son on there with a disability.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I respect Jasmine for that. And it took her the longest time to even put Wansei on the show. Yep. We had seen her for like 2 seasons before she even let them film that one scene. And that was right before she was leaving or whatever. Yeah, I mean, people, they have personal lives that are complete disasters, but a lot of times there's some good mothering in there. And I respect that, right? Like, I respect the good mothering. Jasmine is a good mom to her babies. I don't know, you know, to what extent good. I'm not going to say great. But, like, I think that she's taking steps to protect them. And I think that's what makes a good mother, is steps. What's up, Kobe? Kobe, I just want to say real quick, I respect the fact that you stood up for Michael and you wanted to make it known that you didn't condone the situation going on around you. And I know a lot of you all did that at the tell-all because they didn't show it all. But I think that it was really, it showed that you cared about him as your brother. And I think that was really important. And I feel like everybody is really, really happy to see the way that you stood up for Michael, because he was literally alone in a war zone and he really needed backup, and you were that backup for him. So we really appreciate that.
Kobe, you're the real MVP. Like, whole new, I've loved you from day one, but whole new respect for you after yesterday.
Same.
Definitely. Like, mind blown with all, like, you were basically Michael's voice, Kobe. A voice that he couldn't speak for himself. So you deserve it.
I agree. I feel like that's how you know your true friends and people who truly care about you, people who stand up for you when it doesn't benefit them in any way. And it literally benefited you in no way. It literally almost got you hit. But you were standing up for what you know and what we all know is the right thing.
Yep.
And we stand 100% behind you. We stand behind you. You were all of us. You were all of us. You were standing for us because that's what we all wanted to do, and you did that for us. So I just really appreciate it.
I if it was me there, it would have been a lot different.
Oh,
that's right. We gotta keep Carl. We gotta keep you out of handcuffs.
Some things are just worth it, and that one, I wish I was face to face with her.
That would be worth it. See Carl and UD, double action. George, get your credit card ready.
I don't even need bail.
Keep it on me.
Bail on this one. Just let me have a moment.
I just keep it on me. I never know what's going on. So Statler and Dempsey were back, and Statler was in a better mood. So this is like the calm before the storm. So we were watching like their first night and then the first morning on the van. I want to call it a bus, but it's a van. It's actually a lot nicer than I gave credit for, but the little stuff is going to start happening next week. So this was a pretty uneventful episode for them. Yeah. But we saw that Statler found out that Dempsey had more money saved up than she was aware of. So there's like little things that are coming to the light, because apparently the van is fully in Dempsey's name, but Statler paid for half. And then Statler didn't have a lot of money, so she took out a loan, she borrowed money from her job, and then she comes to find out that Dempsey had more money that she had that she did not.
Exactly what I said last week. We don't know what she got for her house and all the shit she sold. She sold everything. But Statler didn't need to, because, you know, she's the end-all, be-all, save-all.
Well, I think that... Good night. Yeah, good night, Kobe. Thanks for stopping
by. Kobe.
I think that the situation is a lack of communication, because when you're entering into such a big financial responsibility with another person, everything should be discussed. Like, say the van costs $30,000. They should have had, I'm going to pay 15, you're going to pay 15. We're both going to be jointly on the title. Like, there needed to be information documented. Because they're not married, okay? This is not community property. This is just two individuals entering into agreements, financial agreements, with nothing to back it up. So, like, Statler is going to realize later, when she decides she doesn't want to be with Dempsey, Dempsey gets to walk away with everything in the situation because it's hers. Legally, on paper, the title is going to say it's hers. No, there's no proof that Statler paid half, because Statler probably gave the money to Dempsey, and Dempsey probably took the title and transferred everything into her name on her own. So it's like, how I feel like the lack of communication is really what got Statler here. Statler's not going to agree with me. She's going to say that Dempsey's a liar and she's a scammer and she's a cheat and she's a victim. But I do believe in this situation, Statler is a victim because of her lack of participation in what was going on, right? Like, she doesn't know. She didn't ask Statler, like, hey, you sold your house. How much did you get? Yeah. Oh, you sold your car. How much did you get? I have $4,000 that I'm bringing with me. How much do you have? Like, she didn't educate herself on what was going on and what she was getting into. And now, like, of course, it's blowing up in her face. But your lack of interest in knowing what was going on is how you got here. You know, like, you need to be asking every single question. I would never in a million years go half on a purchase of anything, thousands of dollars worth, that I'm not going to have any stake in. right? Like, I would need to be on the title. Like, there is so much that we would have to discuss before you got any of my money, right?
Yep, and Tina's 100% right. Sattler always plays victim. It doesn't matter what it is. On the show, off the show, Instagram, TikTok, doesn't matter. She always plays victim.
Yeah, I've noticed that from the last season. Because you guys know it's weird that she did this season, because last season she complained greatly about the way she was portrayed on the show.
And now she's complaining even more, but she's doing it live on TikTok.
Yeah.
All kinds of shit. I mean, she is smack-talking TLC. She's smack-talking Dempsey. She's obviously going rounds with Kenny and Armando. Like, she's always the victim.
She's stirring the
pot. Yeah, everybody seems to be, everyone's a target for her. And she made some pretty serious allegations. She said that they didn't accommodate her. Because, you know, she has, I think she's an ADHD and... she's mildly autistic, and she was like, oh, they were forcing me to work and not accommodating me, and I couldn't go to the bathroom. Like, she's making some pretty serious accusations against them. And I don't, you know, I was asking other cast members and stuff, and I was like, do you think that they weren't accommodating? And they were like, well, first of all, filming can be long. You know, filming can be 5 hours, 10 hours, 15 hours, depending on, you know, the date, who your crew is, where, if you're filming and it's night and you have to stop, or if it's daytime, it starts raining. There's so many different aspects of it. And they were like, well, if you need a break, they were like, when we filmed, I would say I need a break. Or sometimes they would say, do you want to take 15 minutes? Like, so the fact that she's saying that they're forcing her to work and they're forcing her to film for hours and hours and hours, no breaks, no bathroom, no sleep. The other cast members were like, I've been filming for years and I've never experienced that. So a lot of people just feel like she's, like you said, she wants to be a victim and she's making statements that would make her look like a victim. I don't know what's really going on, but other cast members said like, yeah, we filmed 15, 16, 17 hours before, but they gave us time to eat. They gave us time to go to the bathroom. We could sit and take a breather. If I smoke, they let me smoke. Like, what she's saying doesn't sound like what we experience. So it's really interesting.
They are also filming your life. So in your life, you use the restroom. In your life, you eat. In your life, you get dressed. In your life, you sleep. If you choose to let that be on camera, that's on you. But just because it wasn't shown on TV that you were going pee, doesn't mean they didn't give you a bathroom break.
Right.
Like,
well, she was in the shower. She was in that bathtub scene and where, you know, she soiled herself in there, but that's different conversation.
The diva.
Well,
yes, even Ashley Emanuel got time for a bathroom break.
Well, yeah, I think that, like y'all said, she's playing the victim, and being the victim calls for sympathy and a sad story and making people feel bad. And it's like, I do feel bad that the relationship that she put so much time and money in didn't work out, but I also feel like she's partly responsible for that, for her lack of planning, lack of communication, lack of follow-through, lack of education, knowledge, fact-finding. Like, she literally just, you know how there's two types of friends, right? I tell this to my friends all the time. There's the friend who plans the trip, buys the ticket, has the itinerary, make sure everything is going to go correctly. And then there's the friend who shows up and just says, how much do I owe you? Sattler is the friend who just shows up and says, how much do I owe you? They don't ask any questions. They don't want to know which airline, they don't want to know how you booked it. They don't care. They're just like, how much do I owe you?
That says, how much do I owe you? And then turns around and bitches to everyone else that I was overcharged.
Yes, that you nailed it. You nailed it. Just like, yeah, when you go to the car lot and you pay sticker price, and then you find out that you could have asked them to drop it down $5,000, but you pay sticker price, and then you go and complain to everybody that you have to pay sticker price. That is exactly right. She literally asks no questions, doesn't negotiate, wants to know nothing, and then complains about the raw deal.
Absolutely.
That she got. And I feel like at some point people are going to catch on, if they haven't already, that she's just full of crap, right? Like, you can't be the victim in every story that you tell. Like, every story that she's ever told, she was the victim of all her past relationships, all her business deals, everything. She's been the victim of something.
Absolutely. Every single thing she's ever said.
Well, I know it's going to get interesting, because starting next week, well, probably not next week, because they're going to jump back over to Josh and Tata, or James and Tata and Josh and Lily, but we're going to get some of the real stuff going down with, because we know what happened. You know, Sattler and Dempsey are not on speaking terms, obviously. So we're going to get into the fun stuff soon when Statler realizes that she just funded a really fun trip for Dempsey, and Dempsey's gonna walk out scot-free with no debt. And I think that's gonna really hit her hard, but you know, you gotta do your homework. You have to, don't let, because Statler, actually it's funny because she said in one of the earlier episodes that she always let people run her over in relationships, and she felt she had to pay, and she had to do more for people to love her. And then she keeps, she's acknowledged that she does that, but she's also doing it again. You know, and it's like, when you know that you have an issue and you know that you're doing something that's to hurt you, you try to correct it. And it's like, she's just repeating the cycle.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel bad for that. That's definitely something that, you know, I hope that she can overcome. I don't want her to always get screwed over, right? Like, I want her to learn how to stand up for herself.
Yeah.
Real quick, I want to talk about some of this forbidden love. We only got a few minutes, though. So Elmer and Lindsay went to his parents' house. They weren't home. But he didn't let the cameras go there, which I thought was a good thing because, you know, cameras are strictly prohibited in their, first of all, in their community, but in their religion. They could be shunned for having cameras on their property, period. But they talked to his siblings, and the siblings were supposed to tell the mom and dad that they were there. How did y'all feel about the sneak attack on the parents? Did y'all feel like that was too much? Because I felt like they should have wrote a letter first.
Absolutely. I'm still pissed about it. And I was pissed last week when it was happening.
Yeah. I think it's a beef, like it's a delicate subject. And it's sitting down with baby steps, basically.
I feel like she's forcing him to communicate with his parents, just like I said last week.
Yeah,
she's forcing it. We want to meet parents, we want to tell them we're pregnant, blah blah blah. This episode she says, I'm raising a child, I need a man to raise a child with, I can't raise you too. Well then, girl, you shouldn't have got with somebody that's 23 and has no life experience.
He's 23, but
realistically he's 13.
Yeah,
because he was raised in such a sheltered way. He's 23, but like up here, he's like 13 years old. And she's looking for a man, she was looking in the wrong place.
I don't know what miracle she was expecting to happen when she got together with him, because you kind of have to shelter, like he lived, like everyone says, like he lived a sheltered life. You have to, like, you know, be more patient to say taking care of another child. What did you anticipate was going to happen?
She says he's regressing and she's having to tell him to brush his teeth and do the normal things. Well, that's not shit he had to do when he lived at home. So that's stuff he's learning. It's just like when your baby's born, you're going to have to potty train them. You're going to have to teach them to brush their teeth and use a spoon and all the things. And that's essentially what you're getting. If you just have a baby out in the woods and you never talk to them ever, they have no communication with anybody, you can't bring them out into the real world and expect them to hold a conversation or even know how to speak. And that's what she's doing. She's pulling him out of the dark and putting him into the light and expecting it just to be magic. And it's not going to happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I disagree with how she's making him feel that he should feel bad for not being more advanced in life when she picked an Amish boy. He's not even really a man. And it's like, she could have chose anyone, right? Like, she could have chose anyone. She chose him. She knew his situation. She knew his background, and she did it anyway. And now she's holding him accountable for things that he can't control.
And
right?
Like I said, she forced him into having a baby. She kept nagging him and said, my biological clock is ticking and blah, blah, blah. So he doesn't know any better, you know? Like, he's like, oh, okay, well, then I guess we need to do it. You know, that's exactly it. She's abusing him in a form. It's more abuse.
It's like manipulative abuse, right? Like manipulating.
She's
okay. So I want to talk about
manipulating him. She's got him under her thumb.
I want to talk about this Shabbat real quick. We only got like a few minutes, but apparently in the Orthodox Jewish religion, from Friday night to Saturday, there's something called Shabbat where you can't do any work. And I'm obviously not Jewish, but I really like the idea that I don't have to do anything for like a whole day. And it's like,
okay, hold on, because I have a whole different thought on that.
Really?
That's great if you don't have to do anything for a whole day, but you got to work your ass off the day before to prepare for that. That's so much extra work. If you want to go, you got to go shut off your light in your fridge and tape that shit down and tear your toilet paper. And you're doing too much to prepare for a day off. Like, I would rather do nothing and be able to eat what I want out of my fridge and tear the toilet paper as I need it.
I mean, you're right. You're right. It's like you don't do any work, but you do the bulk of it the day before. So it's not really a day off.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it, but I don't. I like the idea. When they were explaining, I was like, ooh. I can blame my religion on not doing stuff. But then you're right, the preparation is
okay,
a lot.
Okay, but also, you can't do anything. You can't be in a car. You can't cook. You can't blah, blah, blah. So essentially, you have to walk and or ride a scooter to wherever you're going, which is more work than getting in your car. You have to go to a fast food restaurant, which costs you money because you can't cook, but you still have to walk your happy ass to McDonald's to get your burger. Then you got to come home, and if you have any leftovers, you have to put it in your black fridge. And then if you get diarrhea from your fast food, you can't even shit because you forgot to tear your toilet paper. There's so
much. That's why you need a bidet.
So much work.
You need a bidet.
You can, but you have to walk around with mud butt. I think you said you just walk around with mud butt. You can still go.
You can. I mean, it's preferable that you have a bidet. You need to have a bidet or else then you'll get the mud butt.
Yeah. You know, I'm a bidet person. All my bathrooms have bidet. But I don't know. It's funny because the religion that I grew up in, it was a little, we had like a Friday night, Saturday night thing where I couldn't watch TV on Friday night or Saturday. We couldn't go like out, like anything recreational. It had to be like a day of rest is what my religion called it. But we could cook. We could go to the bathroom and use our, like we could do that stuff. So it wasn't as extreme, but like I couldn't watch TV. I couldn't listen to music unless it was gospel. I couldn't like go to a social event, like unless it was at the church. So we had something along the lines of that, but theirs was really extreme. Like I said, it's really extreme. And I think that the idea of converting to a religion that you weren't born into seems more and more outlandish to me. Because when you're born into a religion, like when we were talking about, hold on, what was her name? Ashley. So Ashley was not born as a Muslim woman. So the idea of her wearing a hijab and covering herself and making her lifestyle completely submissive to the religion, I think it's crazy. I think when you were raised a certain way, once you become an adult, I think converting is kind of out of the question, right? Like it's going to be too much of a life change that it's impossible for you to fully commit. Because like when I was raised in that religion, it didn't seem like a lot to me until I got out of it. Because I was raised in it, it's the only thing I knew. And then once I got 18 and I got out of it and I realized all the stuff that I wasn't doing, or I couldn't do, I was like, whoa, that was a lot. But like when you were raised in it, like for Muhammad, it doesn't seem like a lot because this is the only thing he knows. And this is just what women are supposed to do. And this is how they dress. But for someone who's converting, it's crazy to think that every time you leave the house, you need to be basically draped in a blanket. So no one can see like any of your skin. That it's insane to even consider, right?
Yeah.
I think he only married her because she was pregnant.
You're 100% right. You're 100% right. Because
honestly, like, why wouldn't you have that discussion prior to bringing in an innocent child into the world? Like Ellie's cousin or whatnot married a Muslim guy. They're having a baby. They've talked about it. They've worked it out, what decisions they'll be making in the future. Why wouldn't all of a sudden Ashley, who's Catholic, and Muhammad, who's Muslim, talk about these things? Because she got pregnant. That's why.
It a thing in the Muslim religion that you can't be out having sex unless you're married. So the fact that they had sex, got pregnant, and got married after, that's completely contradicting to the religion, if I'm not mistaken. I'm pretty sure you don't just go out and have sex. You have to be married. That's part of the Muslim religion. So he was living loosely in his own religion, but now he wants her to live strictly in his religion. And I think that's where it gets complicated, because I was like, you weren't even following the rules, because how did she end up pregnant before y'all got married? You know, like you weren't following the rules, but now she's got to follow every single rule. That's my issue.
Yep.
All right, guys. We ran out of time. So we're going to come back and talk about before the 90 days. Before the 90 days, this is the other way, which comes on Sunday, this coming Sunday. And then we're going to watch It's more Forbidden Love. I think next week is the finale of Forbidden Love, actually. So we're going to, like, end Forbidden Love. And then we're also, the end of Unexpected comes on tonight. So I want to do, like, a little recap of the season. So we're going to squeeze that in sometime this week. I'll communicate with you guys on that. But make sure you're following my co-hosts, Kara and Gina. We'll tag them in this video. Didi will be back soon. We miss you, Didi. Make sure you're following me on all social media platforms. At George Massey, georgemassey.com. Anywhere you get your podcast, type in the George Massey Show. Everyone have a wonderful week, and we'll talk to you guys really soon.
Bye.
Bye.